Blog Talk Radio.
5, 4, 3. Interesting date. It's a date that's affected the political career of several people, including Nixon, Ford, President and Vice President, and then three governors, two governors and one lieutenant governor. Neil Abercrombie was just defeated in the primary election in Hawaii. He was a Democratic socialist and friend of Obama, and he claimed to have been present at the birth in Honolulu. Of course, there's discussion about that. And then, of course, Edmund Pat Brown, who was governor of California in 1965. He was out of the country when the Watts riots exploded in Los Angeles. Lieutenant Governor Glenn Anderson dithered around and didn't respond effectively, and of course Ronald Reagan took advantage of this, and in the next election for California's governor, Reagan defeated Pat Brown, and Watts had a lot to do with it. Anyway, among the births today, we have Lloyd Nolan. He starred in a famous FBI movie, House on 42nd Street, which was somewhat fictionalized about the Nazi attempt to steal the atom bomb secrets that were being developed in the atom bomb process at Oak Ridge in Tennessee. And, of course, it was a transvestite in it, or a woman dressed up as a man. But it was quite the story is quite accurate as to what happened, although Hollywood fictionalized it somewhat. Lloyd Nolan also played in the stage version of the Caine Mutiny, which is also a World War II story written by Herman Wolk, who was a San Francisco author. And the great movie starred Humphrey Bogart, Van Johnson, Fred McMurray, Jose Ferrer. Great movie. One of the controversial, he's a veteran of the Coast Guard. He was a veteran. He was writing all the time. Alex Haley was born on this day, and there's a lot of controversy about the accuracy of his book, Roots, which became an ABC TV serial back in the 70s. Carl Rowan, another black, who's on the board of the was a reporter, journalist at the Washington Post newspaper. I guess he used to brag about being allowed to carry a gun. Religious operative in the nonprofit sector, Jerry Falwell, his birthday. Elizabeth Holzman, who was a congresswoman from New York, she was also, she had a law degree. She was also on the Watergate Committee, which is still, which is also effective, affected August back in 1974. And the great British conductor, he also conducted the Indianapolis Symphony, Raymond Lepard. Among the deaths today, in 1868, Thaddeus Stevens was a radical Republican congressman from Pennsylvania. He opposed Lincoln on Reconstruction, and he wanted the South to repent for its sins and to be punished. Great movie with Andrew Johnson and Lionel Barrymore played Thaddeus Stevens. Stevens was in a wheelchair. Earlier, he'd gotten into an argument with a Southern congressman, and that congressman beat him over the head and paralyzed Stevens. And, of course, a recent depiction of Stevens was in the recent movie on Lincoln. I think Tom Lee Jones played played Thaddeus Stevens. And, of course, Thaddeus Stevenson had a black mistress. It's quite interesting. Great painter, Jackson Pollock, was born on died on this day, excuse me. In 1772, among the events, was an eruption in Java, in which 2,000 people were killed. Barack Obama was supposed to have been over in Indonesia and was injured. That may explain the scar on his, I think on his head, when they had a tsunami or something over there. But also he was supposed to, his stepfather was Sotero. His mother married a second time, and she went to play South Sea Woman over in Indonesia. In 1919, the great Green Bay Packers, a football team, was found. This Green Bay Packers has a connection to the Steve Mary case. One of the trainers was also the trainer at Stephen Mary's Palm Springs High School. And he saw the trial up here, the Kangaroo Court trial in 1999, saw how they behaved, and they used it as a attempt to put the Navy and Marine Corps on trial. He died recently. We'll get into that another day. 1929, another athlete, Babe Ruth, hit his first of his 500 homers. Getting back to California, 1934, the federal prison at Alcatraz Island, first prisoners went there. And, of course, Al Capone later went there when he was convicted in the Seventh Circuit Federal District Court in Chicago. And I had, when I worked in that building in the early 60s, I was acquainted with some of the survivors of that criminal prosecution of Al Capone. The judge had died, and it was quite interesting. Judge Wilkinson learned that Capone's people had tampered with the juries, and so what happened at the last minute, Judge Wilkinson switched juries. This also happened in the Dapper Don's case in New York. In 1954, there was a peace treaty between the communists, Viet Minh, Ho Chi Minh's people, and the French. They were fighting two wars. The French were fighting in Algeria, and the French were fighting in South, or what was Vietnam. There was no North and South at that time. And so then we came in because Ho Chi Minh thought he had a deal where he would be the leader of the country, of a united country that would be one Vietnam, as it is today. And, of course, the notorious, in 1965, was the long, hot summer, and it was a six-day riot in Watts, Los Angeles. And here is our broadcast archival history of what happened.
Days of rioting in a Negro section of Los Angeles left behind scenes reminiscent of war-torn cities. More than 100 square blocks were decimated by fire and looters, and few buildings were left intact. Firemen were harassed by snipers and brick-throwing hoodlums as they attempted to control the fires, many of which were left to burn themselves out. As the National Guard moved in to restore comparative calm, the losses by fire alone were put at $200 million. No attempt has yet been made to estimate the losses suffered at the hands of the looters, who stole everything from liquor to playpens. Firemen were later issued flak suits of bulletproof mesh to protect them from snipers who continued to shoot from rooftops. Nearly 3,000 were arrested, and authorities had to open abandoned jails to house those netted by the police. It took the appearance of 14,000 troops to bring an end to what both Negro and white leaders called insurrection by hoodlums. Civil rights leaders were quick to deplore the unbridled lawlessness, and Martin Luther King vowed to do all in his power to prevent a recurrence in Los Angeles or anywhere. An uneasy calm prevails in what is known as the Watts area of the city. A curfew was put into effect, and the entire section declared off-limits to all but residents. The people who live here are suffering great hardship with no grocery, drug, or other service stores able to offer. A task force of 1,000 policemen stays on the alert as the thousands of guardsmen patrol an area of 35 square miles. The outbreak spread to other Southern California cities, but were quickly quelled. And Los Angeles authorities say they are now ready to move with dispatch if lawlessness breaks out anew. The riots in Los Angeles have written a sorrowful page in American history.
Now, on this in this month, in August, Richard Nixon resigned from the presidency, and Gerald Ford, who was vice president, he actually was never elected vice president. He succeeded Spiro Agnew, the disgraced vice president, who was elected in 1968, who was forced to resign because of corruption in the state of Maryland. I think he was Baltimore County executive or something. Spiro Agnew, it's interesting, his son became a hairdresser and was believed to be gay, but was not a political activist. Here's Gerald Ford's inauguration.
Mr. Vice President, are you prepared to take the oath of office as President of the United States?
I am, sir.
If you will raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Gerald R. Ford, do solemnly swear.
I, Gerald R. Ford, do solemnly swear
that I will faithfully execute.
That I will faithfully execute
the office of President of the United States.
The office of President of the United States.
And will, to the best of my ability.
And will, to the best of my ability,
preserve, protect, and defend.
Preserve, protect, and defend
the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. President. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Now, on this day also, we had, what else happened on this day? Oh, part of our show today is the fact that we had, excuse me, the atom bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I did an interview with a Japanese veterinarian when I was a correspondent in Australia, and I promised to run this little clip again.
Paul again, and I'm talking to Dr. Shomo from Osaka, Japan. The doctor is your veterinarian, right, doctor?
Yes.
Okay. What's your specialty?
My specialty is pathology and parasitology. I was once teaching in Africa for about 9 years, you see, and then I went back home. It's now since 73, I am now in Japan and continuing my work, which I have started already more than a quarter century ago. It relates to one particular disease of central nervous system of domestic animals.
Like dogs and cats?
Yes. No, no. A horse, sheep and goats. And worm, which normally parasitize in the peritoneal cavity of cattle.
Mm-hmm.
When once transmitted by mosquito into horse, sheep, or goats, they migrate.
Kind of like an encephalitis?
They migrate into the brain spinal cord and then sometimes come out into the anterior chamber of horse's eye. And this is the problem of the yeast, because this particular species of worm is only limitedly found in the yeast, not in other part of the world.
So you're an expert on that?
Yes, that's right.
Doctor, you've lived through the era of nuclear warfare and that sort of thing, however limited. What is your perspective on radiation so far as animals in this part of the world? Has there been a greater susceptibility to cancer in domestic animals?
That, you know, about that, we can't say. But anyhow, the follow-up of the of the condition of human beings had been done quite a lot in Japan, you see, especially in Hiroshima. There is a special hospital, and then there, all patients who are suffering from this post-war disease, they are well treated and also diagnosed properly, and treatment is free, so still many patients are still under their treatment.
But could you extend that theory to animals? I mean, if it happened to human beings,
yes,
surely the domestic animal.
Yes, that is what you wanted to know.
Of course.
Anyhow, at that time, one veterinary officer went to Hiroshima soon after the war, and he had investigated the situation of animals, but we don't have any record at all. But I think there is no great difference from the suffering of human beings. Anyhow, those who got a very high temperature and high pressure, they should have died quite soon, but those who got only radiation should have suffered quite chronically, see? And
what about dogs in the outlying areas? What could, you know,
no,
like...
There is no record. I don't know at all about it.
So did the Japanese government keep records of that guy who did the research?
No, not only the Japanese government, but also from the United States Army. They should have it about it, you know? Then because before Japanese experts went to the spot, they already investigated the situation. So they should have all records. Perhaps in your national library there is a record.
There ought to be. Doc, as a person who's living in this part of the world, there is nuclear testing going on. How do you feel about the effect of nuclear testing on animals in the sea and that sort of thing, and the fallout?
That is very pity, buddy. But you know, for the to protect the human beings, they have had to do it in sacrifice of the life of poor animals. You see, that is not only in the nuclear research, but also in other diseases, the same thing is occurring. So, in a sense, we can't especially accuse only in the nuclear research about this sacrification of experimental animals.
Is there a nuclear research, or are a lot of animals used in laboratory testing in Japan?
That I don't know, actually, how it is made. Yes. But all people don't like to speak much of that effect anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So more or less the common medicine man or veterinarian doesn't bother much, do not bother much about the condition. But only the specialists may do it, I think. I'm sure they are still doing it.
Doc, in Japanese thinking, the culture, the philosophy, is there a Japanese perspective or an attitude toward animals, like the Hindus? Like the Hindus make animals gods.
No, we don't have much. Then because our religion, as you know, we are not so religious. Anyhow, the four, usually they sacrifice the animals for medical or veterinary research quite easily. Yes.
So animals don't hold a special part in the Japanese culture or modern Japanese thinking, or even, you know, like the culture of the early Japanese emperors and all that sort of thing. You don't have any kind of cultural trend?
No, we don't have it.
Doc, if you were talking to the veterinarians at this conference, what would you say to them about people's attitudes toward animals? What perspective would you give them? What advice?
Of what?
Of how they should relate to animals. Do you, should it be more of a humanistic relation, or should
this is very difficult problem nowadays, because in our way of life in Japan, we are so living so much crowded, so even a pet dogs and cat we can't keep anymore. Then, for example, for the education of children, we want to have one or two dogs, but if once we have the dog, we have to carry the precious dog together, and then when once the dog passes out, so we have to take it. And by this way, you see, gradually people are became very few who really want to keep the pet. But on the other side, there are many people who are doing that, especially elderly.
Well, that was the end of that. Now, Abercrombie, who was defeated, Governor Abercrombie was defeated yesterday in the primary election in Hawaii. And of course, Abercrombie is he came from New York. He's another expatriate or refugee or political migrant. And he came to Hawaii in, I think, the 1959-1960. He's connected to the Democratic Socialists, which is a front for the Communist Party. It's a way some political cognoscenti view these people. Anyway, he claimed to have known Obama's father from Kenya and Ann Dunham, Obama's mother, and also he made a statement a while back that he was present at the birth. So, you know, Abercrombie was in Hawaii, was involved in politics. He ran against the first Chinese senator, U.S. Senator Haiwan Phuong, who was in the banking industry, ran against him and lost. And he got involved in Hawaiian politics and ended up in the U.S. House of Representatives. Then he ran for governor, and he was one of the first people to back Mr. O for president. And there's been this constant controversy, which has not been satisfactorily resolved, regarding the birth certificate and the records. And in fact, the mysterious deaths of Luddy, who died, drowned off of Hawaii. She was in a plane. The plane went down. Anyway, Abercrombie says that people, quotes, the birthers who have been questioning Obama's where he was really born, have in effect smeared Obama's parents. But that's not the issue. Obama's parents are not the issue. The issue is where Obama was born. Was he really born in Hawaii and is a U.S. citizen? Anyway, here is his a little audio clip from Neil Abercrombie regarding the fact of his relationship with the Dunham, with Obama's mother and Obama's father and Obama.
It's a matter of principle with me.
Mm-hmm.
I knew his mom and dad.
Right.
I was here when he was born. Anybody who wants to ask the question honestly could have had their answer already.
Well, that's what he said, but that he didn't. He dodged the question, typical politician, and they all do it. Anyway, we're going to be back Wednesday, and there will be more. We're going through our audio archives and go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, and we will have more audio interviews from the archive, stuff you won't hear anyplace else, I'm glad to say. A lot of work, and we'll be discussing what's the transformation of San Francisco, what is the fifth transformation, depending on how you look at it, and how people back east who are concerned about, quote, affordable housing and the transformation of their cities, especially the destruction of public housing, so the which is on prime land, like in Chicago. It's already happened in St. Louis, and it's happening here in San Francisco. Public housing has got some great views, and, of course, that these poor people pay the lowest rents, and, of course, the people running the San Francisco Housing Authority is one of the worst and most incompetent, most corrupt in the history of this country. And also the fact that that things go on here in California that don't go on in other corrupt states. And for instance, when a senior citizen died in one of the major housing projects, the manager of the project went in and looted the guy's possessions, you know, but even before the probate people had a chance to get there. So these are some of the things that go on. Also, senior citizens who complained about conditions in affordable housing. They, in one case, they brought in a hitman from Manila. So we will end with our usual politics and poker, and we will be back Wednesday at 3:30 Pacific Standard Time. And go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERTAS, or AMICUSVERTAS.net.info, which is our web blog. So let's end with politics and poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going
to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it going? We should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Politics and poker, shuffle up some cards and find the joker. He's a game for children, he's a game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
when to call up some.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your five.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Say, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Panyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
We'll be back Wednesday at 3:30 Pacific Standard Time, and then we will get into Ebola. It's surprising. I was just informed that Ebola was discovered as far back as 1976, and it's quite interesting. There was a vaccine developed a couple of years ago, and there's a patent on it. It's quite interesting. And, of course, the Japanese doctor that I interviewed in Australia, parallels here that some of the sources of Ebola may be conditions in which those people and those animals live and contamination over there in Africa. So we'll get into that Wednesday. Stay safe, and thanks for listening.